Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. Last week on Hope for Today, we began studying from Daniel chapter 7. The title of our study was Kingdoms in Conflict. We didn't finish our teaching last week, so we're returning to that text again today. And so, to begin our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear. It was raised up on one side, and had 3 ribs in its mouth, between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another, like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. The events of Daniel chapter 7 occur chronologically between chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 7 begins the second half of the book of Daniel. Chapter 7 is a summary of what has been previously revealed. The first half provides a general overview of human history, especially the times of the Gentiles and the relationship of Israel to world history, while the second half provides much more detailed explanations. This text gives us a broad overview of the kingdoms of the world from Babylon to the return of Christ. In it, we will see the kingdoms of this world in conflict with the kingdom of Christ. As all scripture proclaims, the kingdom of Christ will triumph. So let's begin our study by looking at the kingdoms of this world. Daniel begins by stating that in the first year of Belshazzar, He, Daniel, saw a dream and had visions while on his bed. It was fitting that this vision of the downfall of world empires should come to the prophet during the reign of the last king of Babylon. This was no ordinary dream. So Daniel wrote down the substance or the main facts of the dream. Since this is a dream, many of the things Daniel sees are symbolic of reality, and the angel interprets these symbols for Daniel and for us. There are significant contrasts between Nebuchadnezzar's vision in chapter 2 and Daniel's vision here in chapter 7. The vision in chapter 2 is given to a heathen king. The vision in this chapter is given to a godly prophet. The vision in chapter 2 pictures world history from the viewpoint of humanity in a gloriously imposing image in human form. Daniel's vision views world history from God's standpoint in its immorality, its brutality, and its depravity. And our text gives details that expand our understanding of the image in chapter 2. In his vision, Daniel sees the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea. Some people think this is a reference to the Mediterranean, but that's unlikely because it's not supported by the context. Most likely, this is a universal picture of humanity all over the world. The use of wind in Scripture often speaks of God's sovereign power to accomplish his purposes. Let me give you an example. Isaiah 17, 12, and 13 speak of both the wind and the sea. Woe to the multitude of many people, who make a noise like a roar of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. And nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away, and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. As Daniel was watching the vision unfold, he saw the four winds stirring up the sea, and out of the sea arise four great beasts, and they're all very different from each other. In verse 17, the kingdoms represented by the beasts arise out of the earth. This is another reason why the great sea in verse 2 is not likely the Mediterranean. Most Bible students agree that the four beasts represent the same entities that make up the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. Now, the first beast, representing the kingdom of Babylon, looks like a lion, except it has wings like an eagle. Archaeology proves Babylonians were familiar with winged lions. In fact, they were on the Ishtar Gate, the main gate into the ancient city of Babylon. Lions were a common symbol of power in the ancient world. Eagles were the master of the heavens. Combining those two attributes suggests complete mastery. But as Daniel continues watching what's happening, the lion has its wings torn off, and then it stands upright like a man. The beast was also given the heart of a man. Now, I don't think that means that the lion got a human heart transplant. Most likely, this refers to Nebuchadnezzar's experiences in chapter 4. You remember, at the height of his power, Nebuchadnezzar had his wings clipped, we might say, by God, and he was turned into a beast, grazing in the field on all fours. But once he acknowledged God, he was once again given the heart of a man and walked upright as a man. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all prophesied at length on the fall of Babylon. The second beast Daniel saw, representing the Medo-Persian Empire, looked like a bear. A bear was the second most feared animal in Palestine after the lion. A bear is powerful, it's ferocious, but it lacks the speed and grace of a lion. The beast of Revelation chapter 13, which gathers into its power the characteristics of all previous beasts, is said to have feet like a bear. The bear Daniel saw in the vision was apparently lying down. It's described as raised up on one side, with three ribs clenched between its teeth. this bear was told to arise and devour much flesh. Now the bear being raised up on one side may typify the one-sided union of the Medes and the Persians. Even though the Persian Empire wasn't as old as the Median Empire, it was more powerful and eventually absorbed the kingdom of the Medes. We're not specifically told the reason for the ribs in the bear's mouth, but the bear is a symbol of government and military conquest. So the ribs most likely represent people that are subdued by this kingdom. The command to arise and devour much flesh is an accurate picture of the Medo-Persian Empire. It lasted for more than 200 years, until the time of Alexander the Great. Then Daniel sees a third beast, representing the Empire of Greece. This beast looks like a leopard, but it's a grotesque one. It has four wings on its back, and it has four heads. It was given dominion over the earth for a period of time. Now, once again, the leopard is less majestic than a lion, but it's faster and much more feared as an animal of prey. The impression of speed is enhanced by the four wings on the back of the leopard. When you think about it, the lightning character of Alexander's conquests was unprecedented in human history. He conquered the whole area from Macedonia to Africa and eastward to India. It's also interesting that the number of wings, four, corresponds with the number of heads that this beast had, which was also four. The four heads may symbolize the intelligence of this kingdom, and that this empire would have four governmental divisions, each of them with their own administration. You know, those descriptions agree precisely with the details of Greece under Alexander the Great. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Kingdoms in Conflict. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Kingdoms in Conflict. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Kingdoms in Conflict. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging on to the site for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Kingdoms in Conflict. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.